So how many of you guys made a reservation today? Anybody? Somebody reserved it for you, huh? Brother Jim was mentioning how it's nicer to be in here than it is to be standing out in the field while it's raining. Well, yesterday I stood in a field, well, not a grassy field, but by a field while it was raining for about 2 hours. At times it sprinkled, at times it poured. But by the end of my time standing there, I was sunburned. So I went for, well, I was there for like, what time we get there? 6 hours? Yeah, 6 hours. But yeah, so I went from being soaking wet, literally for like my coat and my shirt, jeans, to being dry and sunburned. So if you stand someplace long enough, the effects of the weather can be very different. Of course, the effect of the weather Friday night was being soaking wet for a different reason. At the gym, it was pretty warm, so that was a little different situation. But let's turn to Psalm 15. Psalm 15, going to continue here a little bit with the idea of meditating. Didn't get very far last week, so we'll spend another morning here with it. Psalm 15. That hymn there, Jesus paid it all, that's a powerful hymn. And that's something we need to meditate on. Just, he paid it all and we owe him all. We owe him everything. And well, we never quite get there to showing them that we owe them everything. But praise God, he's patient with us, and in spite of us, he loves us. Let's start with prayer. Father, we do thank you for that patience, and we do thank you, Lord, for the fact that you did pay it all. And Lord, help more and more day by day, week by week, year by year, Lord, that the idea of how we owe you everything would grip our hearts even more. That we would show you the gratitude that we have, Lord, for the penalty you paid for each of us, Lord, on Calvary's cross. And Father, that we would allow that same attitude that was in you, that same mind that was in you, to, Lord, just overcome our selfishness and our flesh and many other things, Lord, that we struggle with, and that we would more and more live in a way, Lord, that you can use us and that can be a testimony to the dying world around us. We do thank you for the time we have this morning, and do ask, Father, that we would, that you would work in our hearts, that we would humble ourselves, and, Lord, just really see ourselves as we are, as a needy people. And, Lord, more and more, just let you meet those needs that you can use us. Just lead, guide, and direct in this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Excuse me. So Psalm 15, verse 1, Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness. And then this next phrase right here, and speaketh the truth in his heart. This is so very important. And I don't know that we can overestimate how important this really is, because let's turn over to Proverbs 23. Proverbs 23. We need to speak the truth in our heart. In Proverbs 23:7, the first part of the verse there says, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he." And what we think about, what we meditate upon, that is going to be a lot of who we become, how we respond in different situations, the patience we have or don't have, in the various struggles of life, the trials we face. You know, do we really believe that God is trying to help us through them, helping us to see needs that we have, how we need to depend upon Him more? But it's so true. for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. That's true of all of us, and the things that we think, they come from, like, what we say in our hearts, you know, about different situations, about different trials, about different people, about government affairs, world affairs, I mean, everything, everything. And as we looked last week in Joshua, you know, in verse 8 there, we need to meditate in the book of the law. Everything that we're thinking about, every crossroads we have, every fork in the road, everything we're dealing with, we need to meditate, the Bible says, there in day and night, all the time, everything we're struggling with. And then the verse goes on there, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Not prosperity like the world tries to say is important. Not success like the world tries to strive for. Not prosperity like the charismatics try to say is a promise that God's going to give us everything we want and ask for. Because we know everything that we want is not good for us. When we come to our senses, it's true. That's true. It's not. Let's go to Psalm 1 then. Psalm 1. We have to have enough humility to admit that. You know, not everything we want is going to be best for us. But God does know best. And it's so important for us to have that level of humility. Well, and to realize, you know, if we were on the throne, we would just make everything bad. You know, we wouldn't make things better. But God's on the throne, and He knows what's best for us. And he not only knows what's best for us, but He knows the perfect timing in which to bring things to pass. You know, because a lot of times the things we want, they are good for us. But we want them a little too early, or, well, some of us, probably me, I'm too hesitant sometimes. But God's timing is perfect. But Psalm 1, in verse 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. That's what God wants for us. God wants us to be successful. God wants us to prosper. In His way of defining it, of course. But He does not want us having, He doesn't want us spinning our wheels. You know, we got a spot there in the driveway to the west. And one time during the winter, when the ground is thawing and everything, you know, there's the one end of the driveway is kind of tough to get all the way in. You know, you're kind of taking a chance trying it. So we tried to, you know, use both ends to not wear it out. Well, this one time I got in the one side, and the two tracks are pretty solid, but if you get a little bit over into the grass, you know, at that time of year, the van just sinks. Well, it went down about 4 or 6 inches, you know, and I'm trying to get myself back out of there. God wants us to stay out of those ruts. Well, now the rut's still there, and so we try to walk around. You got to be careful, or else you end up in the rut and turn your ankle and stuff. So, but God doesn't want us in those ruts, spiritually speaking. He wants us to stay on the good ground. You know, when the snow is over the ground there and it's icy, I couldn't tell where the good ground was, so to speak. But the good ground is His Word, and that's where we're going to get the things we need to be prosperous and successful. Let's look at Psalm 77. Psalm 77. Psalm 77 and verse 12. Actually, let's start in verse 11. Psalm 77:11. I will remember the works of the Lord. We could all sit here, if I gave you a piece of paper, of course everybody already has one with their name on it, I guess. I don't know, maybe there's more use for those later, so we probably wouldn't better write on those. But we could get a piece of paper and we could do this. We could remember the works of the Lord. We can think back at times in what God did for us. I mean, we can think of all kinds of places in the Bible, of course, but in our own life personally. In our own life personally. I remember before I graduated from college, you know, there can be a lot of anxiety and a lot of concern. You're like, what am I going to do for a job? You know, before I graduated from college, I was married. I was a Taco Bell shift manager. You don't make very much doing that. You can't really buy a house, unless you want a two-room thing or whatever. And so I was kind of nervous at times, you know, and then before I even graduated, I heard about an opportunity to start teaching. So the Lord opened that door and led me to it and started working. But then, you know, you're like, wow, I got a real job. It's like, oh, this is what I make. It's like, how is this going to work out? That shift manager job was still a part of the picture, because when I was working teaching, I still worked vacations and I still worked summer at Taco Bell because it just wasn't quite enough. Well, then this first job didn't quite work out, and so I went back to Taco Bell full time. And it's like, wow, you know, how are we going to make all this work? And, you know, I was driving like 50 minutes one way, and I was refereeing like 3 or 4 or 5 times a week after work, and it was pretty rough. But then the Lord opened the door for a better job, which I took, and I'm, praise the Lord, I'm still there. You know, 14 years later, actually, I ran into somebody yesterday while I was, actually, I was at a track meet here in Greenville. That's where I was for the 6 hours, getting soaking wet and sunburned. But the guy who was the starter is actually the father of a guy I went to college with. You know, and we were talking about, you know, what was going on in his son's life and in my life. And he's like, wow, it's been that long since you guys have been out of college. You know, even the father was like thinking of how long that was. But, you know, the Lord provides. You know, he promises that he's going to provide for us. The thing that we struggle with is, to us, it doesn't look like it. You know, it's that whole idea of the paper and the light bulb. You know, when the paper's in front of the light bulb, the light bulb is kind of out of the picture. It's not clear anymore. But we need to not look at things from man's perspective, from our own perspective. We need to trust God at his word. But sometimes we start meditating upon what am I going to do? What am I going to do? Instead of, hey, God promises. God promises. Go forward by faith. But we can all see different ways God has done so many things in our lives. Many things in our lives. I will meditate also of thy works and talk of thy doings. And, you know, we need to share those with each other sometimes. You know, this is what God did for us in this situation. You know, this is what God did for me during this struggle. You know, that when people are aware of what God has done for others, it increases their confidence in him as well. And then verse 12, I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of thy doings. Oh, I didn't finish up verse 11 there. Surely I'll remember thy wonders of old. I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of thy doings. We need to do more than just think about it. We need to remind ourselves. We need to remind others of what God has done. And then also, too, this leads us to have a personal testimony. You know, some people, they'll listen a little bit more to what God's doing for us maybe than, you know, just trying to, I mean, we need to give them the gospel, of course, but sometimes it's about what God did for me, and through that we can share the gospel with them. But if we tell them what God's done for us, you know, the different ways God's met our needs, the different way God provides peace through difficult circumstances, ultimately the fact that he saved us from our sins, you know, we can share that with people. You know, we can use our meditations, the things we're thinking about that God has done, to be able to have a personal testimony to share with other people. Let's look also at Psalm 119, verse 78. Psalm 119, 78. It's more than just meditation on God's word for meditation's sake. We need to let it have an impact on us. We need to let it have an impact on us. And allow it to give us something to share with others, have a personal testimony of what God has done for us, But then also, in Psalm 119, verse 78, we see another reason for it. We see another reason for it. Psalm 119, 78, "Let the proud be ashamed, for they dealt perversely with me without a cause. But I will meditate in thy precepts." One of the most difficult people or situations for anybody to deal with is when somebody talks bad about them, treats them wrong. but we need to meditate. Here it tells us, even in spite of that, "But I will meditate in thy precepts." When we meditate in God's precepts about how people have wronged us, we think about, well, look at how they treated the Lord Jesus. Look at how they responded to what, look at how he responded to what they did to him. And that's got to be some inspiration for us. That's got to be some motivation for us. He dealt with that. We can deal with certain things as well. Let's turn to Matthew. Not sure what chapter. I think it's like 6. I think it's 6. Let's see. It might be 7. No, I think it might be 5. Yeah, it's 5. Matthew 5, verse 43. Matthew 5, 43. The Bible says, "Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh the sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust." That's kind of funny, because yesterday it was raining and then it was sunshiny. But all that rain was helping out evil and good. The sunshine was helping out just and unjust. And let's see, verse 49, "For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect." A lot of times, though, when we get in these situations, like Psalm 119:78 says, "Let the proud be ashamed, for they dealt perversely with me without a cause. But I will meditate in thy precepts." A lot of times the struggle comes in because beforehand we don't prepare to respond correctly. And that's where the meditation comes in. You know, what am I thinking? If somebody wrongs me, am I thinking, oh, I can't deal with this. This is too hard for me. I need to get back at them. Or am I saying, you know what? I can do what the Lord says. I can be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. And I can respond correctly to those that hate me, speak evil against me, perversely treat me, whatever it might be. But we need to prepare to do the right thing. We need to prepare to do the right thing. So that, and that involves the meditation. That involves the preparation mentally and in my heart about how am I going to deal with this? How am I going to deal with this? Because we all know, the heat of the moment, a lot of times, is not the best time to make a decision. It's all most of us can do to just keep ourselves, our emotions under control, let alone trying to think rationally, think uprightly, think justly about, okay, what am I going to do here? How am I going to handle this? But God knows. And God can handle through us any of these situations. Psalm 119:23. Psalm 119:23. So we've seen here about how the meditation is important to think about what God has done to help us handle things correctly, to know he's going to take care of us, then also, too, for us to have a personal testimony, to be able to share with other people what God's doing in our hearts and lives. And then also, too, excuse me, when people wrong us. I just cannot get this frog out of my throat. Excuse me. When people wrong us, how are we going to respond? And then the next one, Psalm 119:23. This is kind of an interesting context here about meditating. Verse 23, "Princes also did sit and speak against me, but thy servant did meditate in thy statutes." We all know the government could use a few tweaks here and there, or maybe major adjustments. But what does God have to say? God says, even though the princes do sit and speak against me, even though they do things that we know are not best, we're still to meditate in his statutes. We're still to meditate. You know, and a lot of times the government goes outside of its role of rewarding good and punishing evil. It does that. But we can still meditate. We can still know God is on the throne. You know, the heart of the king is in God's hands. We need to remind ourselves of that. He has control. God is sovereign in nations. I believe that. God is sovereign in nations. He raises kingdoms up and he brings them down. God is sovereign. And in the hand of the king is, or the heart of the king is in God's hands. And so even though princes also do sit and speak against me, even though they make laws that are probably not best, even though they make laws that they want to restrict Christians' freedom, even in spite of all that, even in spite of all that, we still need to be meditating on God's word, knowing that he's in charge, knowing that he is going to bring to pass sovereignly in nations what he wants to bring to pass. Take some faith. It takes some faith. 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Excuse me again. 1 Timothy 4. So we've seen here about we need to meditate on 1 Timothy 4. We need to meditate on God's word. That's the way we're going to be changed. Actually, hold your place here really quick, and let's look at Ephesians chapter 4 really fast, and then we'll come back here. Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4. This is a really important thing, this meditating idea. We saw about how it's just going to remind us about what God's been doing and going to do, have a personal testimony, handling things when people wrong us, issues with the government. But just a little sidebar here, so to speak. Is that that's a lawyer term, isn't it? Isn't that what they have with a judge or whatever? Is that what that's called? No? Maybe? Is it? Anybody? I thought so. But anyway, I'll have to look that up. Ephesians 4, verse 21. Ephesians 4, 21. And so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. This is how deceitful things are in America in 2010. This surprised me. And I don't know why. It probably shouldn't have, but it did. It actually kind of took me off guard. I'm out at the sheriff's camp on Thursday. Praise the Lord, five guys there. Had a real good time of Bible study. One of the guys said he got saved since he'd been in there. Seems like he really wants to learn. I can't remember his name, though. I need to write their names down. But we got to talking about just how we have the wrong idea about things, about what's right and wrong and so forth. And I don't know how many years ago, everybody knew that living with a girl, living with a guy was wrong. But this guy sincerely, and I mean, he was not playing around, because some guys are out there, they're just messing around. This guy was not messing around. He's like, so you really mean living with a girl is wrong? And that kind of, that really surprised me, that he just had such a, he didn't have a sense of morality. It took me off guard, but that's where we are. That's the product of public school education. Whoops. Public school education. That's the product of Hollywood movies. You know, that's the product of all this. I mean, literally, garbage heap music. The music is garbage. I mean, just the sound. Just the sound. I mean, one of the things that I try to enforce, like, well, number one, in school, it's up to the teacher whether or not they can have and listen to iPods in the classroom or MP3 players or whatever. I don't even want to see them. Because number one, if they do start listening to them, then you got to deal with everybody's volume level, not to mention the garbage heap stuff that's coming out of it. And even like as a coach, I don't want to hear it on the bus. When we're at the meet or game, don't have it on. It's, if you want, you can have it, because it's a different bus rule than a classroom rule. But you can have it, but I don't want to hear it. Well, even yesterday, this one kid turned it on, and I'm like 20 feet away, and it sounded like the noise of war. That's what it was. It was the noise of war. And it is garbage. But that is the result of public school education, Hollywood, television, movies, you know, the music they listen to. It's not good. It's not good. But that took me off guard a little bit, as far as he just did not have the concept that, yeah, that's wrong. That's wrong. But it just goes to show you in what it says here in regard to how the old man is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. People are deceived. People are deceived. Now, they're walking right off the plank willingly with all this music and stuff. But it is deceitful. And then verse 23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. This is where the reading and meditating and studying of the Word of God comes in. We've got to let God change our minds. And that's where the meditation comes in. You know, we got to let God change our minds about the deceitful lusts and about trials and so on. Now, trials, I mean, we don't want to go looking for them. But when they come, God's big enough. He's big enough to help us through it if we let him. But we got to humble ourselves. We got to humble ourselves. We got to realize we are not our own. We were bought with a price. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe, our very lives. You know, and in some situations, our finances, our health, and we could go on down the list. But we've got to be renewed in our minds. And then let's go back to 1 Timothy 4, and we'll be done right here. We'll be done here. 1 Timothy 4, in verse 15, meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them. And that's the next thing. We have got to be committed to what God wants. We meditate upon it. We think about it. Let God change our minds, renew our minds, help us to see the truth about the different various situations we deal with. But we've got to give ourselves wholly to the Word of God. Wholly. We got to offer everything. We owe him everything. And that sometimes is the short circuit with meditation. We think about the things we should, but maybe we're not totally committed to it. Maybe there's a part of us that doesn't have the faith to believe, hey, God could bring me through this. God can deal with this struggle in our family. God can deal with this struggle in our church. We've got to know he can. He's big enough. He's got the power. He has the wisdom. But we got to humble ourselves enough to let him do it. To let him show us what it is. And you know, sometimes that takes a little bit of time. You know, and Lynn and I were talking this week. Lynn and I were talking this week about, I mean, we live in the middle of a generation that's being raised right now where they have instantaneous communication. Instantaneous. They press send on their, when they're texting. You would not believe how much people text. I mean, this one's, well, I don't know the kind of image I'm giving off all the time, but a student again yesterday said, you got a cell phone? Like, you know, I'm not, you know, I don't know, maybe I'm not hip enough or cool enough or whatever to be able to utilize electronic communication devices. I don't know. Like, you got a cell phone? Yeah, I got a cell phone. And I said, yeah, I had one ever since they used to look like a day planner. You remember those days? They were about yay wide and about this tall, and you zipped it around, and you had to hook it into your cigarette lighter thing there, and the phone came out with a cord to the thing. I'm like, yeah, ask your dad about that. That was what they used to look like. But I don't know where I was going with this, but anyway, I don't know, maybe I'm not hip enough, but we live in the day, it was the instant thing. We live in the day of instantaneous communication. I mean, seriously, they send it, and the person instantaneous, they've got it. Then they read it, and 10 seconds later, So, you know, it's no wonder that when a kid has a question of me, he has no concept of anybody else talking to me. They just rush right up and ask, even though there's two people ahead of them in line and already somebody talking to me. They don't get that. I mean, we have instant oatmeal, instant coffee. I mean, I thought about going online and looking up everything that's instant. I mean, we do. We live, and our culture's transformed. But think about it in 20 years. What it's going to be like trying to reach people, trying to help them see their need. But yeah, it's just instant everything. But we were actually talking, I got to hurry up. We were actually talking about this in relationship to like track and practice. You know, they want results after running 10 yards. They want to be world class. You know, after running 10 yards, a lot of them, they don't know how to train. They struggle. Now, don't get me wrong. It's not all of them. There's still decent kids out there that work and stuff. But, yeah, they just want the results now. Just like they want to text and get a response in the next 30 seconds from their friend or parent or whatever. But, you know, this whole idea of meditating, it's not instantaneous. It takes a lifetime. It takes a lifetime. It's day by day, every day. It's really moment by moment. Letting God direct our thoughts, direct our motives, direct our goals to His Word and His leading and guiding. But meditation, it's important that we are constantly thinking about God's Word. How does God's Word apply to this situation? And when we're committed to that and working with that, then God's going to make us prosperous. He's going to make us successful. We're going to be obedient. We're going to be usable. And I trust that's all of our goal. That's all of our goal, that God would use us in a mighty way. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for your love, your patience. We thank you for your long suffering. We Lord, do thank you for your Holy Spirit and your Word. And Father, the work that you've done in our hearts and in our lives, Lord, over many years. Represented here, Lord. We do thank you, Lord, that you have even more you want to do. And Father, we just pray to have the humility we need, the brokenness, the contrite spirit and heart, Lord, that you can just be in charge of our thinking, our goals. And Father, that would happen, Lord, through us meditating upon your truth and just letting you lead, guide, and direct. We do thank you once again just for the privilege it is to be able to gather here today, for your love for us, and just pray that you'd bless in the service to come. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.